Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 173. It is a Sunday evening, September 29th. Should have been the end of the baseball season. We're counting it at the end of the baseball season. And we're going to recap our leagues. We're going to talk about some the listener leagues, some big news there, and much, much more to wrap up the season, a little playoff preview and all the fun stuff that surrounds that. Before we get there, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bluefield, how are we doing, my friend?
That's how we're doing tonight. We have made it, my friend. We have absolutely made it. Cheers to you. You've got the high noon. I've got a little Founders All Day IPA. A couple of them here sitting on the desk. Just, I don't know. Celebrating, unwinding, exhaling the end of the baseball season. I also had both my wife's out of town, so I had both my kids this weekend, and it was a long weekend, so we're exhaling this evening. But good. I don't know, fun. It's always bittersweet, the end of the baseball season, yeah. like we've kind of been saying. But tonight we're going to do what you just said, kind of chill out, relax, and look back on some good and some bad.
Yep, we're going to have some fun. It's more of just a casual episode, recapping a few things coming up this week because we don't quit on this show. We'll be with you Tuesdays and Thursdays pretty much every week. You'll get two episodes a week, but it should be Tuesday and Thursday nights as usual. And it'll vary because we do take vacations in the winter, but we'll still, again, you'll have two episodes every week. This week will be Bubba and the Bloomies award show, which will be fun, and then a Beer Bets recap show. So we're going to have some fun there. We will get recapping the season, and those, I'm already looking forward to those before you know it. We'll be previewing 2025, but we're just have a little bit of fun here. Playoffs are starting up, and kind of like Ryan said, unwind is we're bummed baseball's done, but a little breather. Like this past week, we didn't have a show Thursday, and I'm sitting there going, I said one article to write, and then Friday night, nothing, because I had no fab to write. It was the first Friday night I've had nothing to do in 27 weeks. It was just like I was watching Netflix. That does exist, people. Netflix is a channel apparently that is around. So it was nice to go, but at the same time, where I was going with this long-windedly, of course, is we're glad it's winding down. But like Friday night when I'm bored, I'm already thinking about what content I'm ready to start putting up for 2025, like recapping in my brain for 24 to get ready for 25. So we're going to keep things trucking as usual, and that's not going to quit, but it's fun. We got a couple in the chat here already, Kim Case and Michael C. Welcome as usual, friends, to the show. Hope you guys had a great season and enjoyed the final. I'm calling it the final day of baseball. There's a doubleheader on Monday, but I can see that.
How do you feel about that doubleheader? Like we had planned to do this episode anyway tonight because basically the season's over, but it is still a little bit weird. I was kind of mentioning to you earlier, like usually this Sunday evening or whatever, after all the games are done, you start seeing congratulations and screenshots of standings and that sort of thing. I haven't really seen that too much. I think people are just kind of waiting out this final. To me, it's kind of a bummer. It's like, kind of like those old, I guess they don't do them anymore, but the game 163s where it's like, we think this is what the standings are going to look like, but you never freaking know. And then you start looking at, like, I know I'm in a couple of leagues where like I'm tied with someone who is Chris Sale that goes tomorrow. And it's like, you start going down the rabbit hole of things you don't want to do and looking at categories and where you can gain and all that. So I don't know. To me, it's a little bittersweet. It'll be fun to watch on Monday, but also like, I wish the standings were finalized.
Well, then it's fun. Like we were talking about before the show is, Schwellenbach is pitching game one. If the Braves win game one, they're in the playoffs. Game two doesn't matter to them. So Sale's not going to pitch. He won't pitch to the wild card. So you dodge that bullet. If somehow the Braves lose game one, now Sale's going, and now you're sitting there going, gosh darn it. Yep. So it's a whole thing on that one. It's going to be interesting. Michael C. in the chat here has a fun way. He says, I hope you guys did well. Ober and Schmidt gave me a final gift to knock me down to the third with Detmers. That trio took me out of first. I'll say this much, Ryan. The last couple weeks, lots of bad starts. Lots of bad starts. Even from guys like, not just streamers, like Detmers, Albert Suarez of the world. They've done their damage. A lot of guys we trust, Ober, Schmidt. There's been a lot. Like Jose Barrios on Friday. Dude's been lights out for almost 2 months. Gets destroyed by the Marlins. the Marlins. It was a rough finish for certain people. Luis Eel.
This will be one of our categories, by the way, on their Bubba and the Bloomies award show. We're not doing the typical like MVP, Cy Young, those categories. We're doing some more creative stuff, and this will be one of them. Those kind of the brutal starts, award winning blow ups.
That's the shame. That's why I was just like, can we please get to the finish line? Just get this over with. It's just not fun at the moment. I want to hang on and try to lock down a little bit of winnings this year compared to last year. Was a good year. Last year was a really good year. This year is fine, but could have been better. Let's put it that way. We did our cheers. Let's talk listener leagues. And when we look at the overall standings for Bubba in the Bloom, Ryan, let's hold on that. What were your thoughts on the listener leagues this year? Because it was quite the experience getting it together, getting the auction set up, all that fun stuff. But then I started out well, and I came back to the middle of the pack. You were kind of doing your thing. So what was your thought? Well, I'm trying to be nice and let you put your – I'm not going to speak for you on this. But what was your thoughts on the listener leagues before we start giving out congratulations?
I was doing my thing around 40th, 50th overall out of 60. I tried to – got a little cocky. I got up to one of your worst teams, and then I fell back. Listener leagues were a ton of fun. It was a new endeavor for us to not just do listener leagues, but like these were true listener leagues. We did not even promote them on social media. It was actual, you know, four people on the podcast that listened to the podcast. And it was also like very low entry, $50. And it was also auction league. So it was a learning experience, I think, for a lot of us. And still will be a learning experience for me, given how my teams went. So ton of fun. We did four leagues this year. I know we'll do it again next year. I don't know if we'll each do two teams. That may be the common, you know, the common refrain at this time of year is, oh, I'm going to cut down on my fab leagues. Maybe we'll just do one listener league team each, but ton of fun. I know my league was very fun. My dad was in my league. And he lost. I was busting his chops tonight. He lost. He went from second to fifth.
Oh,
today.
No.
He lost 7.5 points on the final day of the season. That's like unheard of, man.
Who destroyed him?
He didn't even have that. I mean, he had like a bad day, but not in that, no pitchers really. And then, I mean, hit like 180 with like a home run. But I mean, that's not like, I don't know, you have bad days. But yeah, a man lost 7.5 points. The final day of the season. So that was tough.
That's pretty impressive stuff right there from old Raj. All right. Before we announce the overall winner, we'll go league by league real quick. We'll kind of go down leagues.
Who won your two leagues? The two leagues you were in.
Right, that's the wrong one.
I'll do mine. On.
Bubba's an idiot. All right. My first listener league is league number 660. That doesn't help any of it, just differentiates. The winner was John Wilder. I've known John for a while in the fantasy streets. Yep. He had 122.5 points. I'll give Anthony Hamley, credit. He finished second, and he pushed hard towards getting up to 118 points. But Wilder has been around Wilder was really, really good all season long, and Hamley came on tight. So congratulations to those two, especially Wilder, for taking that one down. The second listener league of mine, and then we'll go to yours and you can discuss. Daniel Thibodeau finished first in this league with 113.5 points. Richard Zito, friend of the show, finished second. A lot of good finishes here. This was a tighter league than my first league, but Thibodeau finished first in this one. And all I'll say without giving everything away, my two leagues had three of the top five teams. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
Okay, one of my leagues had number one and number two overall.
That's true.
We'll go. So my first auction league, I finished in 10th. Not great, Bob. But with some baseball HQ representation at the top of my league, we had Brent Hershey win the league at 117 points. So congratulations to Brent. Brent's basically putting together most of the agenda for First Pitch Arizona, and like, I think he should probably be on a panel about auction leagues the way that he drafted that league. So congrats, Brent. But then also Brant Chesser, B-R-A-N-T. Brant Chesser finished second, took my dad's spot.
That's
from
amazing.
Second down to fifth, and Brant slid back up with 102 points. David Cray finished third at 100. So again, congrats to Brent and Brant. My other league, the number one and two overall. So Mark Crom finished second, 116 points in the league and second overall. So congrats to Mark. Awesome season, especially to finish second overall out of 60 is pretty damn sweet. And then the winner of not only my second league, but the overall Bubba in the Bloom Auction League is Brandon Snyder. So congratulations, Brandon. Hell of a job. Your prize awaits shortly.
Yeah, and real quick before we get to that, I was a bad host. In the listener leagues, the one John Wilder won, I finished fifth. And in the one Thibodeau won, I finished seventh. So mid-pack, there was a lot of up and downs in that one. But you mentioned Brandon Snyder's prize awaits. We were in contact on Sunday morning, just assuming he was going to hold on. And he actually gained points on Sunday, which is telling you how good he's done. And if you wonder why he finished as high as he did, the individual's jersey that he's going to get an autographed jersey of is one Shohei Ohtani. And I think if you rostered Shohei, you had an upper hand on everybody. I'm not going to say everyone that had Shohei won their leagues, but it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all to have Shohei Ohtani. Like, I had Shohei on our touts leagues. We'll get to tout a little later, but I didn't win tout. But good on Brandon Snyder. Heck of a team. Did some big boy stuff there.
He did. I'm trying to pull up his it's not working. I don't know what he got Ohtani for, but yeah, that will be a common refrain of basically a lot of league winners this year, as Ohtani is just so elite. It didn't it mattered who else you took, but you had such a leg up if you took Ohtani.
You're looking for Ohtani's price tag?
Yeah.
I get it for you right now. Snyder. It'd help if I probably, there he is. He got Ohtani. I can't even read. $39. $39. That is cheap as all get up. That's impressive.
Legion of Doom. Hold on. I've got his squad.
It right here. Yeah. I got the whole auction board up.
Okay. All right. So who are a couple of the other top?
Well, I got Rushman for 19. It went Rushman. I'll do his roster real quick. Rushman 19. Kyber Ruiz $9. Those are his catchers. Alec Baum $8 for first base. Ketel Marte only $10. That's pretty good.
That's huge. That's awesome. Going along the lines of my ethos of nailing mid round things, and $10 is basically the equivalent to mid round. Ketel Marte, $10 is, yeah, that's huge.
Xander Bogaerts at 13. The fact that Bogaerts is more than Ketel Marte is pretty impressive stuff. Colt Keith for $2. You got Junior Caminero for $1. Ellie De La Cruz for 24. Seems like a little bit of a discount potentially for what you got in that return. Shohei for 39. And then he just went cheap in the outfield. Like, this is impressive stuff here. TJ Friedel for 9. Kerry Carpenter for 3. Brian De La Cruz for 3. MJ Melendez for 3. Jose Siri for 1. Ryan, I think if we looked at the outfielder out the gate, we'd be like, there's no chance. That's impressive.
Yeah, and I'm sure there were some fab pickups there.
Oh, so, for sure.
But yeah, no, the Ketel Marte and Ellie De La Cruz mid-20s, that's certainly... I would think my man dominated stolen bases between that and Shohei. What, 59 steals? I think he stole another one
today.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, so that'll do a pretty good number to that one. And then if you want to know why he dominated, here's his pitching staff. Emmanuel Clase for $19. Zach Wheeler for 30. George Kirby for 27. Edwin Diaz for 20. Might feel like an overpay, but still in the end, it wasn't bad. Brandon Fott for 8. That worked out well for most of the year. Michael King for 8 was pretty good. Mackenzie Gore for $2 was great for a while.
Cool.
And then he had $1 Tyler Wells and $1 James Paxton. But the core of his pitching staff was pretty nuts.
So basically did not miss a pitcher outside of the last two, which are dollar days, yeah. You know, whatever. It's funny looking back, and when you have all the answers now, it's like, yeah, picking the right players does a world of good. So
does help. But yeah, pretty impressive stuff there from Snyder. I'd love to see what he did throughout it, but pretty cool stuff when it's all said and done. Michael C is here in the chat saying Otani's worth $59 per player rate or no other player over 51 bucks. And he got him for 39th, the $20 win. That's pretty good. Not to mention what that Ketel Marte win was. That might be better than the Shohei pick, honestly, like dollar wise. Might not be, but pretty darn close.
Yeah, close. Probably I'd still do Otani, but yeah, close. Yes. Very close.
Very close. Very close. All right. Any final thoughts on the Bubba and the Blue listeners? Snyder, we've been in touch. We're working on getting you what you need to get. Not surprisingly, not Shohei doesn't sign as much stuff as you'd think. At least not without at least not without going through like a hardcore like system. Like there's a lot of other guys you can find on multiple authenticated websites. Not an issue. Shohei is like only through the certain avenues. So we're working on that one for you right now, but it will happen.
Bubba's working some connections here.
No, I was on it this morning, then I went and did stuff with the daughter. So you'll have that thing taken care of here in the next few days. Not a problem at all.
Nice.
All right. Now, how do we do? That's the real question that so many people want to know because we take our L's often on this show. We're not afraid to do that. So Ryan, I can either go or you can go first. I don't care. And we don't have to talk about every team unless you really, really want to. But kind of how'd things go for you this season?
I would say it's kind of interesting. Like, I think because I agree, we definitely take our L's, and almost to the point, maybe I'm speaking for myself, where I highlight my L's more than my W's.
Yep.
So I think it's I had a strong year, I would say. I only won one league. I shouldn't even say only. Like, to win a league, and especially in my, I mainly play 15 teamers, that's really damn hard to do. I won my TGFBI league and did very strong in terms of NFBC, like won more money than I put in. I think that's also hard to do and also big, underrated in terms of, like, I mean, the NFBC makes money because the players don't, you know, on average, you don't make the money back. So anytime you can take more than you put in, you're good. Did not do as well as I wanted to in labor and tout, kind of the two industry drafts. Got my labor team up here. I finished 6 out of 15 in labor with 83 points. And then in tout, finished one spot below you, my friend. I made a run at you.
How many points?
Hold on, where is it at here? I gotta navigate.
It's six points below me though.
So, yeah. Oh, 6 points, yeah. So I had 90.5 points. You had 96. So I finished, I finished seventh. You finished sixth. Yep. In tout.
Yep.
So that was a common theme for me. I only, again, quote unquote, only won one league, but I was up there in the top third in a lot of my leagues, which, honestly, most of the time, that's about all you can ask for. So I think in general, I'll take it. It wasn't like an awesome year, but it was, I think, a pretty strong year. And I will, if I do say so myself, I do think adding our FAB preview episodes every Thursday just helped immensely for our own FAB leagues. That was a big driver behind it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. For me, last year was a really good year. This year, I almost broke even. It was pretty close. And the worst part is looking at these, and I've been saying this for a few weeks now, a lot of middle pack teams just hanging out. Yeah. Like, there's a couple that got smoked, but for the most part, they're all within the 4th to 7th overall or in each league type thing. And it's annoying. Like, I won an OC. I was proud of that. Barring a complete, I have a 6-point lead going into the doubleheader, and I looked, and it's going to take a, If I lose that, I should just quit playing fantasy because the gods are not on my side, is what that comes down to. But I played my 3 OCs. One of them finished 4th and 5th in the other two. And in one of them, I finished 4th in, I was 2 points out of 2nd. So it
each of those three leagues is that you won one upper third and then upper half. Like, that's,
yeah. Well, and so I'll take it in the end, because last year, or the first year I did this, it was like one upper half and then two down at the bottom. Last year I finished 3rd, middle of the pack, bottom. So this year I'm kind of hanging out near the top more so, which is nice. Now, overall wise, not even close. So we've talked about this off the air a lot. Not sure what I'm doing with the overall. Might not even do the overalls anymore. We'll see how that goes, because I just want to win my leagues, win some money. That's where my head's at on these ones. But yeah, took down an OC, which felt pretty good, as much as I sit here and try to talk about 12 teams. And, you know, they're still pretty darn awesome, even though they're not the main event. So that that was fun in my mind. But other than that, I think I finished third in a DC. I finished fall. Right now I'm fourth in another one, so that means I have a chance. It's like half a point out of third. So could get some more money back in that regard. But a lot of like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh place teams that – yeah, it's a bummer. Injuries were fun this year. I know everyone's going to talk about that, but that destroyed some, especially in the DCs, Ryan. I know you talked about it too, but there's been a lot of red on those charts of late. Lots of red. It's been tough to set lineups in those formats, but that's the way it goes.
I'll even throw my, again, I don't know how much people care about how our teams did, but I do think it's good just to, for accountability purposes, like, I don't know. And maybe people do care, but I'll throw up my entire NFBC standings. I don't got nothing to hide. The reason why I made money this year in the NFBC is because my biggest money league, a satellite league, 15 teamer, I finished second. And that's probably my biggest accomplishment. Not only did I finish second, I was first heading into the last week and then just had a bad week and slipped the lead on Friday, never got it back. But it was with a Spencer Strider, Michael Harris start, 1-2.
It's pretty impressive.
And so that was a major man. And the guy lost the league to, had the second pick and took Bobby Witt right before I could take Spencer Strider. So I always just think back, like, what if he took Strider, I took Witt. But, you know, you can't think about that. So finished second in that. I mentioned my Bubba and the Bloom leagues, which maybe that's the auction format, maybe whatever. But 10th and 11th, not great. One TGFBI, fifth out of 15 in WERF, which is the like Pacific Northwest Writers League. Cannot defend my title there. The Draft Champions Leagues, I thought I did really well. I was in four DCs this year, finished second, third, and this is fifth, but it'll be fourth because our buddy John Fish didn't meet his innings limit. So
outstanding.
I don't know. Second, third, fourth in draft and holds out of 15 teams. That's, again, you're just in position, and if you're in position, it makes it fun to track. So I'll mention this over the course of the off season. I want to do even more draft and holds. It's just fun to draft, and there's no fab, so it doesn't take as much of your time in season. Do need to mention, I signed up for a main event qualifier where winner takes everything and finishes first. I was in like 13th or 14th about halfway through the season and then knew I had no chance. That one was last. So did finish last in a league. I'll throw that, you know, I don't want to hide that one, but once we were about halfway through the season, I knew there was no way to get first. So, so again, overall, I think pretty strong. I've had better years. I've definitely had worse years, but, overall, I'll take something like this, pretty much every year.
Yeah, that's awesome. That reminds me of my DCs last year. Last year, I think I won two or three, and I finished. Like, that was last year was a great year. Like, last year was a really good year. But I was pretty pumped on last year. This year, like I said, I guess I could show it since you showed yours. I can do this in like 2 seconds. I got it. I think I should be able to figure this out, Ryan. Just give me 1 second here.
See, we're trying to get you to figure stuff out on the fly. Make sure you flip it to night mode.
There you go. You happy?
Ooh, look at all those leagues. Night, Jesus.
Yeah. But see, OCs are in the top three. We talked about that, the fourth, first, and fifth. The online auction, that's when I had to go to the hospital for my daughter. So that's been behind the eight ball since the get-go. That was,
you
not
can blame
fun.
Curlin for that one, right?
Yeah, that was not fun. There's our listener leagues. My main event qualifier finished 11th. I fell back and just kind of tried to keep it competitive, but nothing really going on there. TGFBI finished third. Bar if I can never play well. And that's another one that I drafted on my phone while watching my daughter. I wasn't even at San Francisco for that one, so that was a bummer. But, yeah, I kept fighting, just never got the moves. And then it's just DC's. First two were rough, and then it was like there's the third and the fourth, then a couple of roughs. But if you look at those, it's all red, all of them. One of them I couldn't even finish, like, fill a roster this last week. It was unbelievable. So the teams that were healthy competed. The teams that didn't. So there you go there.
That's especially in DC's. I mean, that's yeah. – That's the name of the game. So
yeah, if they were healthy, if I had options, it was they competed pretty well. These NFBC 50s were interesting because it says 9th, 6th, 7th, but I was these things fluctuated a ton this year. Within the last couple of weeks of the season, I was anywhere from third to sixth in all of those, and it just kept hopping around so much. So that was an injury dictated one. And then the Gladiators, God, like, yeah, that's a whole nother situation.
Oh, I didn't even. I didn't even think about my glad. So you on NFBC, you can hide teams, and I just hid them. And I should probably see how I did in those.
Smart move on that one, but that was the NFBC sheet. DC's just crushed me where I could not stay healthy at all. It was brutal. Like, I'm gonna go back through and look at those rosters and just out of curiosity what I was thinking, but not a whole lot you can do on some of those. Just is what it is in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, well, like you've said before, we'll have a lot of content this offseason, especially a bunch of it, you know, centered around DC. So I think there's an avenue, like you were talking about, going in that as well. Absolutely. Michael C. in the chat here says, my first year in the NFC was a net loss, but not terrible. That's about 90% of people that start in the NFC.
It's a net loss for a lot of people. But you know, whatever. I'm going to speak for you, but we don't play this to make money. Yeah. Like, even if, say you make, I mean, I always said this, but like, say you have a great year, you make 10 grand. For the number of hours you put in there, like,
yeah,
you're below minimum wage. So.
Pretty much. You're sweatshopping this one, folks. That's just the reality. You should be working
for Nike. It's nice to have money on the line just to have skin in the game and that sort of thing. And it, you know, it definitely adds some juice. I don't want to poo-poo that, but yeah, more people lose money than in most years I've lost as opposed to gain. That's why they're a business, and that's why they make money.
That's why they do what they do. That is for sure. But yeah, no, that was some fun stuff there. Great season, right? I didn't realize I knew you were doing well. I knew you were that good. Like, the DCs, that's nice money coming in there. So, well done.
I didn't win any, and I finished fourth and one. And the First Pitch Arizona League is not a buy-in. So I finished third in that. So that didn't pay out. And then obviously TGFBI isn't a money league. So again, I don't care, but it was just kind of funny. Like, the non-money leagues were some of the better ones, but whatever. It was a good year.
You try to give a guy a compliment, and he just like,
That's a character fault, to shoot myself down a little bit too much.
Oh, well. I'm usually the self-deprecating one, but you got this one. All right. So, anything else on our teams, anything like that, before we talk a little playoff baseball?
No. We will do a more like kind of lessons learned type of thing that we did similar to last year, where we'll probably bullet out like four or five of our just kind of like not really our teams, but just 2024 landscape wise that will help listeners more than us saying how we finished in leagues. But no, I don't know. So today, were you sweating games during the last, you know, while all the games were going on, or were you,
No, I was with my daughter at the Salinas Air Show watching the Thunderbirds rattle our tent. I didn't even look at scores to play about 2:30.
See,
just out of curiosity, because I was just waiting. And that was the game scores, not NFBC. I basically wanted to be like, you know what? It's out of my hands. Game start at noon. I'm gonna check in when things are pretty much done deal, because I couldn't do it anymore. The last couple days, though, I was checking throughout the day. That was new for me.
Stressed out watching dots on MLB game day.
Today I was like, I'm with my daughter. Nothing else I can prove with this. Like, we're just going to chill. Like, this is what it is. So,
yeah. Jeff's in the chat. Bring on FPAS. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yep. Right around the corner.
Hopefully by the time our Tuesdays. Yeah, right around the corner. A little over a month away. Like a month and 2 days. Hopefully by our Tuesday episode, we will have a time slot nailed down. We'll see.
For the show.
We'll see.
Yep. Could be fun. All right. Let's talk about some postseason baseball. We've kind of joked about this doubleheader on Monday. And for those that are living under a rock, the Braves and Mets play a doubleheader on Monday because of the hurricane that went through the Southeast and postponed a couple games between these teams earlier in the week. If the Braves win one game, they are the 5 seed. If the Mets win one game, let's put it this way. If the Braves win one game, they're the 5 seed. If the Braves win one and the Mets win one, the Mets are the 6 seed. Diamondbacks are out. If the Braves sweep, they're the 5 seed. Diamondbacks are the 6 seed. If the Mets sweep, the Mets are the 5th seed. Diamondbacks are the 6th seed. Diamondbacks can't get better than the 6. Braves can't be worse than the 5th. That makes sense at all?
You could you could have said that 5 times in a row, and I'd be more confused with each time you actually iterate through. So no, that made no sense to me at all. But I'll figure it out.
Doesn't surprise me. It needs to be on a spreadsheet for you. All right. So what it comes down to, whoever wins game one on Monday is in the playoffs. That makes sense. Okay. Is that easy enough?
That's yeah, we're good on that one.
Okay. Now, if the same team wins game two,
so no, I get games, all this part. But once you start talking about seeds and five and six, whatever. No, I get that part. The Diamondbacks just need a sweep. They don't care who. If the Mets and Braves split, they're both in.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll see how that breaks down. But just after saying all that, let's go to the American League side, which is locked in, and have some fun with this. So the Detroit Tigers are the 6th seed, and they'll take on the Houston Astros, 3rd seed. And then the Royals are the 5th seed. They'll take on the Orioles, the 4th seed. Okay, Ryan, let's have fun. What are your thoughts on Detroit, Houston, Scooble, Framber, Valdez on Tuesday?
That's the interesting thing to me, is like, I almost want to pick Detroit in this matchup because I don't think Houston has the starting pitcher depth.
You think
like,
Detroit doesn't either,
but right. I think these two teams are quite evenly matched, and I would take Scooble in game one over Framber.
Just, so you don't think Framber, Hunter Brown, you know, there's no depth for you there?
Yeah. Browns. Yeah. Browns. Not bad. But
like, yeah. You say Kikuchi is your dude.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'd pick Houston.
Well, I want Detroit to win.
But Scooble goes out there and shoves game one. I mean, 1-0, you never know. But
they have to win the Scooble starts. They have to win Scooble starts.
Yes, for sure. And it's that kind of interesting. Maybe we'll do a pennant draft after this. But Scooble in postseason contests is awfully interesting because he is going to start game one of the wild card. If Detroit gets through that, then just get more starts out of the guy. But I don't know. Probably say 60-40 Houston, and 60-40 is a lot for postseason playoffs contest. But
I did 2 pennant drafts this morning. I did Phillies Tigers and I did Dodgers Tigers. So it's fun. It's fun getting that Scooble in there, see where it goes. But yeah, I'm still going Astros just because experience. I do like their pitching depth, but man, this Tigers team's dangerous. They have nothing to lose. They're playing with house money and some right now. If they can win this, if they win the 2 Scooble starts, it's all they need to do. They got a fighting chance like no one's business. So it's fun. And that's the beauty of playoff baseball. It's a lot different, but I'm going to go with the Astros and their experience on this one.
I'll go contrarian. I'll go Detroit.
Okay. Royals, Orioles. This one to me is, everyone makes it seem pretty obvious. I don't think it's as obvious as people think.
Yeah, you want to talk about lack of starting pitcher depth. Like, Baltimore better win that Corbin Burns start. But, it's against Cole Reagans, so I don't know how much of an advantage that is. So I'm going to pick the Orioles. I just think the lineup depth for Baltimore is there. But with any of these series, you could see him go either way. But I'll go Baltimore. But Kansas City could be dangerous. And honestly, like, I don't know how good the 1 seeds are in each league right now in the playoff format. So we'll get there with the next round, but I'll take Baltimore over Kansas City, but that'll be a fun series.
This is where it's fun. I'm going to go with Kansas City on this one. I like the Scooble start, or not Scooble, the Reagan starts. I like the Reagan starts quite a bit. I think Waka, experience-wise, and just being able to keep a team in a game, he's going to be able to do that. Lugo's been good. Like, the Royals rotation, I think, is better than the Orioles, weirdly enough. As weird as that sounds, like, if I can get Waka versus Kramer, I'm taking Waka all day long. Like,
after Burns, there's despite what Baltimore wanted out of Trevor Rogers, there's nothing. There's not much in that rotation.
I had to go there. See, I'm going to go Royals on this one, but I think both series are a lot closer than initially thought when we started talking the pennant last Tuesday. lot different. As a lot of things are shaking out a little differently. All right, let's stick in the AL. We'll do the whole AL side first here. So then you have the Tigers. I have the Astros. They face the Guardians in round two. I'll let you go first. So you have Tigers, Guardians. How do you feel on that one?
Cleveland. Yeah, Cleveland. It's just interesting. I think Cleveland's such a better real-life team than fantasy team.
Yeah.
You've just got, like, there isn't a whole lot of, like, fantasy pop. Obviously, Jose Ramirez. But, like, this is just a team that grinds out at-bats that can make it really tough on opposing starting pitchers. And they've got good starting pitching themselves. And then, obviously, you've got Class A and friends back in the bullpen. So, Cleveland isn't the number two seed for nothing out of the AL. They're a really good team. I'm going Cleveland over Detroit.
Yeah, I respect Cleveland quite a bit. I really do, but I'm taking the Astros. I'm going to stick with the Astros. I think this team, it's one of the scarier three seeds you'll see out there. So I'm going to scarier wild card teams just in general you're going to see out there. So I'm going Astros over the Guardians. I'm not as sold on the Guardians starting pitching. I think the Class A back into the bullpen, insane. We got to get there first. They got to get there first. That's my only concern, because an Astros team, they can thump pretty much anybody. So
like, Cleveland, Bybee, but is he a true
that's
one?
Awesome.
Yeah, and then what do you have after that? Like Gavin Williams,
Matthew Boyd. It's sketchy. Like, we've seen these guys be great, but do you trust them? That's where it gets dicey. So it'll be fun. That's why these matchups are really tight, really, really tight, which we don't get to say every postseason. All right, the other half of the ALDS, you get the Yankees taking on the Orioles or the Royals. You had the Orioles, so Yankees, Orioles, who do you got?
I'll go Yankees. I do think the lineup is just, it's just so hard to get around Judge and Soto, and then you've got Jazz there too. And really, like, Gerrit Cole has looked better lately. Carlos Rodon.
Yes,
Rodon has looked better lately. I think you've got a pretty decent 1-2. For the Yankees, the bullpen, despite the Holmes fiasco in the second half, that's a pretty strong, like, deep bullpen. I like the Yankees to advance.
All right, we'll go to the NL now before we do our LCS picks. So we're talking wild card for the National League.
Unnamed team versus.
Well, I think
we don't even know who the Brewers are going to play. But
I think the Brewers face the Mets. I think the D-backs get the short end of the stick on this one. So I'm playing it as if the Mets are the six and the Braves are the five. If you want to take a D-backs play at six, knock yourself out. But Brewers Mets, how do you like this one playing out? Because it's interesting clubs is the best way I'll put it.
I'll take the Brewers. You never know how a lineup's going to do in a 3-game set, but their lineup's just awesome. You do have Manaea, who's like on fire right now, but that you neutralize that with Freddy Peralta. I don't love the Brewers starting rotation depth, but I think they've got a really good bullpen. Saivaldi,
dude. Saivaldi.
I hate to go against my man, but no, I'll still take the Brewers. I think that lineup's so deep. That's tough.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm going Brew Crew. I love their lineups quite a bit. The Brewers lineup, the trio and company, Adames, and of course the best catcher in all of baseball, Mr. Contreras back there. And Reese is kind of heating up here the last week or two, which can be a very welcomed addition to the club. I'm a fan of the Brewers. I got the Brewers advancing for sure.
I actually think the Diamondbacks, if they get in, are more dangerous than the Mets.
100%. 100%.
Their lineup is better, and you've got Gallen, Fott, both pitching well, 1-2. Yeah. Like,
I would take the D-backs. I would take the D-backs for sure.
Yeah, I just don't know if they're going to get in. But
I think they're going to get screwed on this one. I'm just going to put it that way, because if whoever wins game one is going to rest game two, which benefits the other team that's going to be going all out with their aces. Like, it's... And anything can happen. It's baseball, and their rivals, they might say, screw it. I'm trying to, you know, screw you out of the postseason. That's a very real situation. At the same time, I think these teams want to be ready for game one of the wild card, and rivalry goes out the window at that point. That's kind of how I see it. So we'll see. I would pick the Diamondbacks if they get there. I'm with you on that one, but I don't see them getting there. All right. Braves, Padres. Before we get too deep, I think the Padres are dangerous. So what's your thoughts on this on Braves Padres?
They are dangerous. I'm going Padres.
I'm gonna say Padres. I think a lot on this show, but I'm gonna take Padres as well.
That's the question. That next round with the Padres, we did just see what happened. Padres Dodgers this week didn't go well for San Diego, but
yeah, it's all good. all right, so then we got for the LDS Phillies Brewers. This is on paper not that close.
On paper, I mean, I think you have to go Philly, right?
Yeah.
They're awesome. Yeah. You've got Wheeler. Ranger Suarez, it does not worry me. He has not been as good in the second half, so it's not really that, but it's the Phillies lineup. It's Wheeler, it's Nola, probably Christopher Sanchez is their number three, given how Suarez has pitched lately. So they're an awesome team, deep lineup. I think pretty good bullpen and great rotation. So I'll go Philly there.
Yep. I'm going Phillies as well. They're one of my favorite teams to draft on the pennant period. I love the depth of the rotation. Yes. Wheeler can just shut down anybody. I don't care who he's facing. And when it comes to that offense, it is loaded and it's not even all clicking on the same cylinders right now, but they're just so loaded that if they wake up in that ballpark is like, you know, we talk 12th man in football. That ballpark in the postseason is
awesome.
An animal. It is an animal. It's like a bucket list thing. I want to be there so bad, and I can't wait to watch game one of the LDS when Wheeler's warming up on the bump, and that place is just rocking. So, yeah, that's a whole other beast. Like, pros are pros, they say, but I'm sorry. You go into that ballpark, and you listen to that around you. It's got to change a few things for you in between the years. So, all right, Dodgers, Padres. It seems easy to me.
It does, but you're biased. I would love to see this series happen.
Yes,
this is like my favorite. This is my favorite series in baseball right now, and it's really not particularly close. I think in a full 7-game series, I don't think the Dodgers have the rotation depth. I just don't. They're throwing Landon Knack out there, and as their 4 starter right now. I'm going Padres over the Dodgers.
Yep, I'm taking the Padres as well. I love their pitching depth. Postseason is all about pitching, folks. It's pretty simple. Like, that's where I will plant any flag I can. And I love what this Padres team is doing. The fact that Yu Darvish probably won't be on there, it'll be going out of the bullpen to start the postseason. That's how deep they are. And Darvish is pitching
fine.
Well. He's
good.
Built up to 6 1/3 innings. Like, he's ready to roll. That says everything I need to hear about a team, and I don't like the Dodgers pitching. They're pretty banged up as well. Let's just be honest. Like, Muncy's banged up. There's a few. Freeman's got the high ankle sprain. There's a lot of question marks going on there. Give me the San Diego Padres to take down the Dodgers.
And do we know if Freddie Freeman? We don't know.
We
don't know what's going on there. So, like, it's Otani has just been on, and Otani has been so good that he could like kind of win a series by himself, which is just crazy in this sport to say one hitter can do that. Like, he's hitting over 600 over the last 3 weeks. It's unbelievable. But I just don't think he can. Maybe he can keep going, but I don't know. Yeah, Padres over Dodgers.
All right, let's talk LCS, League Championship Series, ALCS, Ryan. You had the Guardians and the Yankees. Are you taking down the Yankees here?
I'm taking the Yankees in the World Series.
Yep. Oh, he's got the Yankees. He's going chalk. Okay, cool.
I mean, you're going to go Astros, right?
I'm going Houston Astros, baby. I love it. This is why.
I can see him making a run.
I guess Dom says in the chat, Houston and San Diego highest exposure. I'm guessing he's talking pennant. Houston and San Diego is my favorite stack, period. You get all the wild card rounds. These are two teams I think can go the dance. Like, I love a Houston-San Diego stack. And I'm taking Houston to take down the Bronx Bombers in this one. So that should be fun. NLCS, Ryan, Phillies, Padres. We both have the same teams. Do we pick the same teams to advance?
Phillies.
You took this one's very difficult for me. Very difficult. Phillies will have home field here, which is, again, going to help a lot. Yeah, I should take Phillies. I really should. You got the two, you got the 2-1 seeds, Ryan. You chalky.
No, I know. Phillies are 2 seed.
The Dodgers are 1.
Get out of here. Get out of here with this chalk.
I'm going to go with the Padres. I'm going to go Astros, Padres. 2 wild card teams.
Jeez, man.
Getting to the World Series. So that means.
You're off your rocker, old man.
Who do you have winning it, Yankees or Phillies?
Phillies. They're my pick. I think we'll win the World Series. I think Philly gets their. I think they get their ring.
I like that a lot. I'm going to go with the San Diego Padres for the first time in franchise history. They get a World Series championship. Have never
wild
had one.
Wild card to the World Series. Okay.
I have two wild card teams facing off. For a long time, that's how it worked. It was like wild card. The Giants I think they won one division out of their 3 titles. Wild cards go a long ways. It's got to stay hot. Got to stay hot. But, yeah, I'm cool with the Phillies winning too. Like, if it's Phillies or probably if either one of ours takes this, I'll be happy-ish as hell. So I'm cool with that for sure.
What's the World Series you don't want to see? Well, I know you're going to say Dodgers, but like,
who? I don't want Dodgers, Yankees. I don't want that'll be the biggest slobber fest on the face of the planet.
Yeah,
I know that's what the TV guys want. Simple. It's what they want, but
it would be an epic national matchup. Yes, but yeah,
it'll be such a slobber fest that it'll be so annoying, like so annoying. How many times we see Jeff Vernet? Oh man, if the Phillies and or if the Yankees and the O's find themselves against each other, that could be fun. But yeah, as Dom says, the playoffs are going to be wide open. They are. That's why it's kind of fun talking about. You could make an argument for every matchup essentially, and. That's going to be fun. Dom says he's got the Padres at plus 1,800 in early September to win it all. So that should be a doozy. But
Dom? Dodgers, Yankees would be highest rated.
Oh, yeah.
World Series.
You have Shohei. You have Dodgers, Yankees, West Coast.
Not only just the teams, East, West, but you also, you have Shohei, Judge, Soto, star power.
Like, I get it. I
wouldn't hate it. No, the more I talk myself into it, I wouldn't. I that would be pretty freaking cool, actually.
No, it'd be fun to watch. Don't get me wrong, but I don't want to watch it. That's the thing. When Shohei signed with the Dodgers, it's like, hey, I like you. I'm gonna root for you. I hope you don't leave with a ring. Simple as that.
As a fantasy player, how do you watch a lot of the postseason?
I watch all
the postseason.
I won't make an appointment television for me, but yeah. I'll watch a lot of it. Like right now, I'm watching the replay of the President's Cup. If there is a playoff game on, the playoff game will be on in a heartbeat.
I love the postseason. It's just fascinating to me because it's finally a time where you can not think about your fantasy team.
And that's for me, DFS.
It's freeing.
It's great for DFS.
DFS postseason.
Well, at least the first round, you get 4 games a day, so you actually have a legit.
You're sick. You did just win $3,000 though in DFS.
You gotta have some fun.
But you're a sick individual, man.
I will say the postseason. I'll actually when I'm at work instead of listening to podcasts, comedy podcasts, I'll put the MLB Network on my satellite radio. I'll listen to the postseason because also those national broadcasters are pretty good. Because you get the neutral broadcasters, they're pretty legit too. So. They have some fun with that, so we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. The crappy part, but I also think it's typical, is the Tigers. They get the early game all 3 days against Houston. It's I think 10:32 our time is the start, 1:32 Eastern. Get the first game every day, but I'll say this much: it's Houston, and they've always been the early game. It feels like in the opening rounds, Houston always gets that, and it's on ABC, so. If anything, you say, hey, the early game's ABC, then it goes, then it's ESPN and ESPN2 throughout the day. So the way I would look at it is if I'm a Tigers fan, are you bummed that it's a day game? Sure, whatever. But you're national television. Everybody that's got a TV has ABC. Everybody does. Not everybody's got ESPN. You could have been bunny ears and have ABC. I know that's probably not a thing anymore for you kids, but Ryan knows what I'm saying here. So that's a big deal in my mind to get the Tigers Scoobal on national television. It's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet stuff.
I didn't know. So TBS, TNT are not.
Yeah, I'll pull it up again real quick. I here's your schedule. It was tweeted out earlier today. This will take me 2 seconds to pull up because I know one source that actually had it. That's the wrong one. Apparently they tweet about football too.
You're good. It's yeah. The other TBS gets some ALDS games.
Oh, so maybe it's just the
wild card. It's on like 8 different channels.
Oh, here we go. Okay. So Detroit and Houston are on ABC, Royals, Baltimore, ESPN2. And then you got Milwaukee versus the 6th seed on ESPN. And then same with San Diego and whoever they're facing. So that's kind of the rundown. They kind of rotate between ESPN and ESPN2. But the early game is always ABC, which is fun.
Fox gets the World Series.
Yeah, yeah. No more Joe Buck, but you still got John Smoltz, I think, which sucks. I'd rather have Joe Buck personally. But Smoltz is getting bad.
I'd rather do a lot of things than listen to John Smoltz.
Smoltz is getting bad. We need like a Manning cast for the postseason. Who can we get in for him? Let's have fun with that before we close up the show.
How about Bloom cast?
Dude, I'm down. If people want to listen to us talk baseball and watch the games together, I'm down for at least a couple times. I'm not opposed to that.
My family may object, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll do it by myself. We'll see. But that's I'm not opposed to that at all.
Hate commenting on the Dodgers series.
Oh, people would tune in and probably.
I'd watch that.
Every time they go up 6-0 in the second inning. Yeah,
just get all pissed, and start drinking.
And it really sucks because I don't have Kershaw to rely on to ruin it this year for him. He's not going to be pitching.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, I got to get that last shot in there real quick. But
got to get it in.
I think we'll wrap it up there, Ryan. We'll finish a little earlier than usual, but I think we covered a lot more than I think we thought we were going to. But it's season's in the books. We got an overall winner for the Bubba and the Bloom, year one, which is fun. Brandon Snyder, you had a hell of a year, my friend. That's always big. Oh, before we get out of here, sorry, before I get your final thoughts, we have some listeners that had some kind things to say about this past season. So let me get to that real quick before we head out of here.
While you do that, this is my final thought, I guess. But just a huge shout out to all the listeners all season long. We made the decision to go twice a week and do this Fab preview thing. And it, as we'll kind of see from some of these listener questions, comments, or whatever that Bubba's about to rattle off. I think it worked for us, and I think it hopefully worked for you all. So just appreciate everyone listening. Hope you guys were not only informed, but also entertained. I think that's one of the big things we want to bring to the table is we play this game for fun, and we want the podcast to be lighthearted, fun, and also, of course, give you some good info. So hopefully we towed that line for you all well enough this season. So appreciate everyone listening.
I'm guessing with some of my cheeky comments that make you start laughing so much. I think we did okay on the entertainment part once in a while on those. But here we go. Mark at Black Coffee 816. I watch the Fab preview every week, and you guys helped me win an NFBC $2,000 keeper league and an OC qualifier. I'll have some questions for you guys in the offseason about OC drafts, if that's okay. Thanks. You guys are awesome. Congrats to Mark on that one. Our buddy Ben Tidd, this isn't a shout. He has a question for us, Ryan. Let's hear your best draft hit and best Fab hit for each of you.
Ooh.
I know the Fab one. The Fab one came to mind for me. I had to debate it. I almost said Elliot Ramos just because I remember on our show saying, everyone's picking up Luis Matos, pick up Elliot Ramos. I said that very clearly on
the show. That was one of your better hits.
I said that, and you got Elliot for like $4 and everyone broke the bank for Ramos. For Matos. I told everybody Matos, not to.
Because he had that like 13 RBI weekend, and it was, and Ramos like had barely played. That was a good one. I'll trying to think of Fab. Before I do that, I'll do my best draft pick. So that league that I mentioned where I was in first ending into the final week with the Strider Harris start, the reason I think why that was possible, I took Shota Imanaga in the 11th round and Sean Manaea in the 20th. And I just think, give me a first round bust if you can take those guys at 11 and 20. I will drive this home all off season, but just getting like three or four of those mid round guys that just totally hit I think is the most important thing you can do in drafts. So I'd go Manaea and Imanaga in the mid to late rounds of that league as my best draft picks.
Yeah, for me, I guess I'll go to the OC that I won as for my best pick. And it was, I kept saying all season, in one of my three OCs, I will take Ellie De La Cruz. I took him in round three, pick five, round three. But to make it more fun.
That's the one we streamed.
Which made, because I went Betts, Albies, De La Cruz out the gate. Then I went Gossman. That didn't go well. But then I came back with a Jazz Chisholm on top of it. So that was, some people might have thought a crazy start. I kind of agree, but took care of business. Let's put it that way. It helped out a lot. Set the floor pretty well, especially when an Albies doesn't produce. Having that backup plan was pretty nice. So
one other one I'll add real quick. And during draft season, it was like, oh, I don't know if this is going to work out because he doesn't have a team. Matt Chapman.
Yeah.
It's like going in like the 18th round of 15 teamers. Big. Took him in a lot of spots. And at the time, was like, I mean, I don't know where he's going to play. And I still don't know, like, I don't know where the stolen base thing came from. I think that's pretty damn lucky. Like, I didn't expect that at all. But
he stole a base when I was there on Saturday. I was laughing. I'm like, what? just
running to the end. Just whatever.
Yeah. It was crazy. Yeah. Freaking crazy.
I don't know. Best fab pick. I took some Xander Bogaerts.
Wait a minute. I got to cut you off for a second. Your best draft picks became mine as well. Dude, Jack Flaherty. Like, what are we even doing right now? I was going through this.
I didn't pick him much. That's my problem.
Because I was going through my draft board while you're talking, and I took Flaherty in round 24 in this draft, and I'm like, that is a freaking gift. So I wanted to throw that out for you because you got me, and I know many others much more interested in a Jack Flaherty, and that should be your token this year. But that's my thoughts. You pick your own, obviously.
I was universally laughed at for picking Flaherty. I remember this on our starting pitcher part three preview. Yep. Like our end game pitcher our to take shots, and I was like, Flaherty, and you were like, dude, you're crazy. So it worked.
That worked really well. Really well. Sorry, Fab, I cut you off, but I had to before you moved on to it because that was too good.
No, thank you. Hey, anything, pump the ego. I would say, I don't know, Fab wise, I'd say Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
Mid season when he was pretty much dropped in 15 teamers. Xander in the second half was pretty strong. Got some cheap Trevor McGill before week one for not much and stayed in the role for half a season. Got like, what, 20 saves. That's huge for not spending much in Fab. So I'll go a couple there. There's, I don't know. I'm sure there were others, but those are the ones that come to mind.
Yeah, besides Elliot Ramos, for me, it was Lewis Butler, the law dog. That helped that. Or Lawrence Butler.
Lawrence Butler.
That was a big one. I will take I'll give an opposite side of this, an L for me. I was anti Kirby Yates. And that might be one of the best pickups the entire
year. That was probably the best fab pickup of the year.
Yeah. So I'll throw that out there before. Like, I was anti Kirby Yates, and every time I update him for the first pitch pod on Saturday night, he picked up save number 33 on the year. That's pretty impressive for fab dollars. So
I just thought of another Bubba in the Bloomy Award category. It's like, I'll think of a name for it, but like top fab spend that just did nothing.
Oh, biggest fab bust, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest fab bust. I'm adding that to the.
Oh, I'll think of a name. Don't you worry.
Adding that to the list right now.
Back to our listeners here. Alan Sweet says, found your show back in January. Listened all season. Great stuff. Each show helped me to win two championships and a third place finish. Look forward to the season wrap up. Thank you. Congrats, Alan. Pretty sweet stuff there. Our buddy Joe G says, unless my four hitters tomorrow go big with power and Sale gets crushed with limited strikeouts, Sale might not pitch.
Might not. Might not.
Unfortunately, it looks like a second place finish. Second place is still pretty darn good. Hitting one ice cold over the last 2 weeks. Your weekly shows are great, very informative and entertaining. So it's our buddy Joe G. Renrick, I probably butchered that, but it's a code for something. Bloom boards are so helpful to both check state of current roster and maybe get a week ahead of guys who can really help in the margins. Your fab formats help across the board, even for us monoleague weirdos who can really benefit from matchup streams. Cheers and thanks. So there you go. And last one we have here, our buddy BP at Futures underscore Bet comes with a question almost every week for us. So that's always nice. He said, first place in a mixed league and third place in an NL only. Your preseason pods really helped with my prep work, crushed the auctions. And then the in-season pods uncovered some good buying opportunities and valuable fab insights. Looking forward to 2025. Thanks, boys. So awesome. There you go, Ryan.
Awesome. BP, appreciate, yeah, all the questions throughout the we love listener questions. We always farm for more and more. So thanks for staying engaged all season.
Oh, I had one more that during the show. Marshall Witzberger says, yeah, thanks for the help. Even beat you two in a league. Can't wait till next year. You two are the best. Yeah, yeah. He was in a DC with us. So yeah. No. This is one of the ones I finished 14th in because of all my Rico finished 15th. Oh, that's a heck of a league. Mason finished 12th, Vogel 11th. This was a loaded league. You finished second this one. So yeah. Yeah, Marshall Witzberger.
That's the one where pretty good stuff there. Okay. I think Waxman was third because I was fighting him for second. Yeah, so he won the league.
He won the league. He's the one that came from behind and beat you, it sounds like.
All right, so I expect, I don't want to say half the winnings, but maybe a little kickback, 30% we can go.
I remember last year, awesome. Dom's not in the chat anymore, but I think we were doing the recap show last year, and I thought I won I won a couple DCs, and one of them, I was fighting Nikolai Nuts in a couple deals there. It was kind of shaky. And apparently, like I said, we won, and I get a DM from Dom. There was a stat correction, and I ended up tying for first place. We had to split the it was pretty entertaining. But correction. I'm like, what are we doing? But yeah.
That could still happen. That could absolutely still happen. But
Yeah. So we'll see. Fun. But all right. Any final thoughts on this one, Ryan, before we head out of here for tonight's episode?
Short turnaround. We'll be back Tuesday night. And like you said, Bubba, pretty much every Tuesday or twice a week, pretty much every Tuesday, Thursday, this draft or this offseason, we'll be coming at you. So some type of Bubba and Bloomie's award show or beer bet results will be coming at you next week. So we will not stop. We will keep going. I think the biggest thing we want with this show is obviously entertainment, info, but also consistency. And so we're just keeping on, keeping on. So
yeah. Well, then we'll start our positional recaps pretty soon, but it won't be a positional recap every episode. We're going to intermix some like strategy, maybe some looking back stuff as well. Different ways to kind of analyze maybe stats or other things to kind of give us a heads up on what went on in 2024 to get ready for 2025. So we've thought about a few things, and when we sit down in Arizona, we're going to pencil out a lot more. So we'll get a lot more going for you guys here before you know it. But until next time, in a couple nights, you can follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I am at BD Intric. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 173, your season finale. Catch you all next time.